It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock from the BEA, beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com here in Phoenix, Arizona. I have a very special guest in studio. This is going to be one for the archives forever and always. So we're all going to be paying attention, aren't we? You want to call your friends, and after the first break, you got 3-4 minutes. Call your friends, tell everybody to come in. You want to call your friends. You want to send the MP3. You want to share the archive with them. You go to freedomsphoenix.com. Top of the page, you'll see the link to this show. We got Gary Johnson in studio. Say hello, Gary.
Hello, everybody.
Gary Johnson, he was governor of New Mexico as a Republican. That's a Democratic state. You know, he didn't just walk into it. You know, here's a successful businessman. He's going to college. He creates a construction company. He sells it. He makes sure everybody's taken care of there. And he goes, and I got a little bit of money. Let's go be governor. Let's go free the peoples. So he goes out. He runs against, all kinds of Democratic machine. You know, he's successful. He goes in. He gets 2 terms. He's not allowed a third per their constitution. So in there, you know, one of the things that he's done more than any other all the governors combined in 49 states, 750, what a bunch, vetoes. Boom, done. Can't do it. Guess what happens? Oh, we have a lot more efficient government. Economy does better. Everybody loves Gary. And all of a sudden, he comes out. I remember he came here to Arizona. We'll get to him after the first segment here, but I want to do what we're going to talk about, and this is what happens. I remember when the border governors, California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, came here at the Arizona State Legislature. You got up there and you said, end the drug war. And I go, and all reporters go, wow, we got what just happened? Oh, my goodness. Jaws are dropping. So they're calling me and saying, all right, Ernie, let's give us a crazy libertarian view. What do you think of that? And I'm like, duh. Well, really what happened, Dennis Wagner, Arizona Republic, had already written the article on what my quote was. Is this good? Yep, that's good. We're all good. You know you win when they already write what they know you're going to say. So we have this becomes part of the debate now. You know, it's kind of, can we stop this? What are they doing? Turning off tens of millions of cell phones in Mexico. Just turn them off. You know, going to try and stop this drug trade thing. If your name's Calderon, man, your phone's off. You know, so now what do? They got violence going on, gun battles. It's going, and all you have to do is just say, you know what, drug war over. We declared we won, done. You know, but, you know, we'll talk about that. What are the things we need to talk about? You know, he is a hopeful in the minds of a lot of people. I don't know how much he can talk about it because he's like, you know, wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. But he's hopeful for 2012 presidential candidate. How bad would it be to go from this, you know, who can nuke Iran more? I mean, it was so bad in the Republican debates that saved Dr. Paul. You had every single Republican on how they're going to hammer somebody. Let's go get him. Let's go get him. We want more blood. And all the Democrats had to do was promise not to nuke China, and they get the peace vote. Heck, they include India, and they get the Nobel Peace Prize. Oh, yeah, they did. In this expansion of the war, we're going into Yemen, Pakistan, more than 30,000 in Afghanistan, and all of a sudden Obama gets the peace prize? Wow! You know, the next guy gets peace prize. He's like, eh, never mind. But, you know, we got to talk about a lot of things. War. War, war, war. War on war. Terror war. Drug war. The Federal Reserve. The economy. You know, I know a lot of these guys, they want to know about 9/11 investigation. We're going to talk about that. Well, maybe. What does he know? States' rights, Second Amendment, economy, spending. It's all right here. And we'll have it in just a little bit. You stay right there. We'll be right back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock and maybe Gary Johnson. Declare a little bit too.
There are those that just want to be left alone. and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. Yeah, old Gary Johnson, he's been in the hood all week. You know, a lot of people say, oh, man, you got to get Gary Johnson, because I'm telling you, he's wooing the crowds, wooing them. And ISIL, International Society for Individual Liberty, I just got an email that was forwarded to me from someone that was there. What happened is they go and they're selling books. You know, International Society for Individual Liberty, we got books to sell. We're going to take some books. Go to the Tea Party, be a lot of people got books. 5,000 people are there. And what they said is they go, I must say that the Tea Party crowd struck me as particularly unappealing. Their concentration span seemed limited to bumper stickers and T-shirt slogans, not books. What surprised me was that they weren't upset with taxes, not very much, or Obamacare, or the bailouts. What they seemed most upset by was the evil nature of immigrants and how we have to keep those people out of our country. There were lots of signs about stopping immigration and lots of purely anti-Obama signs, as if it is the man and not the policies that upsets them, perhaps the reason they didn't protest similar policies by Bush. So I'm going, you know, I just spoke at a tea party in Las Vegas. My wife Donna and I went up there, met with some activists and so on. Same thing. I was keynote speaker. You know, let's give it woo-hoo. Let's do it up. And I gave him a good rousing, you know, let's go get him kind of speech. But I'll tell you, you know, these are, you know, a lot of the, there was a, mostly half of them were people from, out of the hundreds of people, there were so many campaigns and candidates there and their friends and family and supporters and everything. You know, really half of the crowd were there for, you know, anything other than just vote for me. So you're talking to them and you're telling them about the truth. They don't want to know the truth. They want to know a bumper sticker. They, you know, here, you, which way, let's vote, you know, give us the ring of power again. We'll do better than the Democrats. That's it. That's all I get. Gary, you got to help me out here, man. On the immigration, that's a big issue. Give me your immigration spiel.
Well, first of all, Ernie, I've been with you here now for about 30 minutes. I just think that you need to be more assertive. I mean, just say what you think. I mean, just don't muzzle it. All right. Again, I've only known you here for 30 minutes, but that said, immigration spiel. Immigration, good thing. We're all here as a result of immigration. Illegal immigration, bad thing. I think this is an issue that really can be dealt with. Part of my trip here to Arizona was to try and understand the whole notion behind militarized border, because this isn't something that that I see as necessary. Again, having been governor of New Mexico border state, look, I think that this issue can be dealt with. I think the government needs to make it easy for individuals that want to come into this country to document those workers. I think employers, that it needs to be easy for employers to document workers that are coming into this country legally, make them contributing members of this country. No, it shouldn't be about benefits to legal immigrants. It should be about them contributing to this country's way of life. I think at the basis of legal immigration is work, and I believe immigrants to be hard workers. So that said, I'm trying to understand the whole nature behind militarizing the border. I'm opposed to the fence. I've been opposed to the fence. I just think that these are short-term solutions rather than long-term solutions.
All right. So what I think I got out of that was this. If somebody's coming here and they got a job and somebody wants to hire them, come on down. The water's fine.
Yep.
Okay. So we got these dang Mexicans coming in taking my job. We got these dang Mexicans changing my culture. We got these foreigners coming in speaking another language. These are a lot of concerns. And if you go to you went to this tea party. I wasn't even there at the one at the Phoenix, and I'll guarantee you the average age was over 60.
Well, yeah, and again, I wouldn't say dang Mexicans. I would say that we're getting the cream of the crop when it comes to workers from Mexico.
Oh, and ding, ding, ding,
bottom,
ding, ding.
Bottom line, they're hardworking people that just want to live the same American dream.
You know what happens is I've been in the restaurant industry. My wife and I, we owned a family restaurant for years. Lots of immigrants come and apply, and I hired them. You know, you fill out a 9-9. Their documents appear to be genuine to me.
Sure.
Okay. Yep.
And you shouldn't be punished for signing off on what appear to be genuine.
They appeared to be genuine to me. You know, last I heard, the federal government didn't train me, and I thought it was on cocktail napkins that they put this stuff, so I'm good. So I, you know, I have no problem with that, because to have get a permission slip from the government to enter into a voluntary contract with another human being, that is the most invasive thing. I got to seek Uncle Sam permission to enter into a contract with another human being. That's just not going to happen. All right. I know a lot of you don't agree with that, but I'm just, you know, that's the way it is. Because these people that would set down their tequila, get off their butt, cross a desert, come up here just for the promise of having work is akin to, you know, traveling the Atlantic Ocean with their family in, you know, ships that take a month. And I'm going, cream of the crop? You betcha. So but the thing is, they go, well, they're taking all our benefits and so on. And I'm going, you know, I don't care who you are. You're from Appalachia, Utah, Montana. You come in and you're going to, you know, I need. We're going to take from you and redistribute to me because I need. You know, you're assuming that I see a difference. You know, somebody's stealing from me. That's the same thing. So you have these people come in and you're saying, if they get a job, they got a job, power to the people. But how do you do that? How do you argue that? How do you, in this anti-immigration hysteria, you would say what?
I do think there's an anti-immigration hysteria. I think it's rooted in what our concerns really are, and that is illegal immigration. Illegal immigration, bad. I mean,
so make it legal.
Well, by make it legal, make it easy for individuals that want to come into the country, make it easy for them to document themselves. I think the government bears a responsibility here in that they've made it so difficult for individuals to document themselves. They made it so difficult for employers to comply. And you pointed out that, look, everything appeared to be right. Well, if it appears to be right, you know, then it ought to be right for the employer. The employer needs to be held responsible, but again, this process has to be made easier. I think the government has made this really difficult, and let's not forget that they'll be contributing money to our system. They'll actually be they shouldn't be eligible for benefits. This is about work. Not benefits, and for that matter, something we need to discuss here is you know, benefits. What's this whole notion of benefits anyway? Really, Constitution of the United States. What is a benefit? The benefit is that we live in a society where we're supposed to have freedom and liberty and the personal responsibility that goes along with that. We really have an entitlement mentality here that's broke the bank. We are bankrupt in this country, and it's not being addressed. 43 cents out of every dollar that we're spending is borrowed. This is insane. This is insane.
Okay, this is you touch on a good point that I want to go. You know, they say, well, these people, they come in, they would change our culture. And I'm wondering, what culture is that? I'm just wondering what that is. I mean, are we a culture of individual liberty, self-responsibility, or are we a culture of gimme, gimme, gimme mine? And these people left a country that is just decrepit due to this collectivization of everything. And they're going, you know what? This doesn't work. Let's go up here and be free. And the first thing they do is they got bureaucracies and workers sitting there saying, sign here. We got more goodies for you.
Ernie, I'm going to declare myself a fan here. Oh,
yeah, it's
you
called
said it. You said it.
It's
you
called libertarianism,
it.
Man.
Well, you said it. I mean, you can't have done that better.
Well, all right. Let's move on to immigration. You know, I got a fan, so we'll go ahead and go something else. You know, the wars. I mean, war. Do you really believe that this war on terror is producing less terror? I mean, what are we looking at here?
Well, all right. One of government's responsibilities to provide for a strong national defense. I mean, that is one of government's primary responsibilities. I would argue that our national defense, that our security is not being threatened in either Iraq or Afghanistan. I'd have been on record before we went into Iraq stating just that, that we'd become mired in a civil war. I thought when we went into Afghanistan, I thought originally that was warranted. It was about getting Osama bin Laden, al-Qaeda, but they're not there anymore. And I'm one of these that believe that as a result of torture, as a result of taking this fight everywhere, that we are creating more enemies than we might have had otherwise if we'd have just been what we've always stood for, which is kind of standing up to the bully, if you will. I believe that our militarily we are spread way too thin. I think we've squandered our military might. We're borrowing 43 cents out of every dollar. We're building roads, schools, bridges, hospitals in Iraq and Afghanistan. Don't we have those same needs here? We're bankrupt. What good are we?
We have those.
What good are we to the rest of the world as a bankrupt nation?
We have those same needs here. When we come back, we're going to drill down a little bit and find out just how much we're going to spread this empire. You know, the horns of the empire going to be out there somewhere, just smaller. Take them back? What? We're going to find out. Gary Johnson in studio in just a little bit on Declare Your Independence.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mamas. I think the whole world's addicted to the drama, only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate, and to discriminate only generates hate, and when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate, and that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
People
y'all.
Killing, people dying, children hurt, and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach, and won't you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning.
Right here. We got your love right here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Gary Johnson, former governor of New Mexico. Oh, 2012 presidential hopeful to a lot of people. People have been hoping. Come on, keep hope alive. Keep hope alive, Gary. Well, is that even a consideration for you? I mean, is 2012 a possibility?
You know, I am honorary chairman of Our America Initiative. It's a 501c4, and Ernie is part of that 501c4. I can't make any statements at all regarding future office or anything like that.
But I can.
You can say what you might want to say, and I realize others are saying it, but. You know what? It's an advocacy committee allowing me to raise money and speak out on the issues of the day. I'm trying to put a voice to what I think are the issues of the day.
Okay, and I know spending's a big issue with you. I know that, and we'll get to that, I pinky swear. And in this short segment, we'll get into the long segment after the bottom of the hour, but we want to cover a couple things. One thing I want to finish up on is the empire. You talk about, you know, we shouldn't be here, we shouldn't be there. Are you advocating that we still have foreign bases, or you want to close them all and bring in all the troops home? Do we need
I have this sense, asked, just generally speaking, 43 cents out of every dollar that we're currently spending is borrowed. So how much of government needs to be reduced? Well, 43%, and that would just get us to a point that would balance revenues with expenditures. I think we need to get a lot smarter. Certainly, defense is one of the big ticket items. Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, defense. So are we spread too thin? Yeah. Drilling down deeper as the initiative proceeds, I think that we're going to be called on, just like you're kind of doing right now, where do we cut back? Well, I don't have those specifics, Ernie, other than this notion that, again, okay, well, way too thin, way too much money.
All right, that's a nice hedge, but I want to ask a philosophical question.
Yeah, philosophical
Should
question.
Should we have bases in foreign countries?
Doesn't appear to me that way, no. And Are there bases warranted? Perhaps, but I got to think that there are bases that aren't. So,
like, let me see, what percentage? 100. So the thing, but I can understand, you know, certainly in Republican politics, they're like, oh my goodness, you're, I don't know, something wrong with you, thinking that I don't want my tax money going over to socially and economically engineer another country. I sure as heck know I don't want it. How many foreign bases do we have in America from other countries?
I do not know. Do you? What is the number?
I hope it's zero. And if it's not, I want to know where they are. So this is, it's just a simple question. Well, okay, so less. All right, you know, certainly less. Bunch of less.
That's my sense.
Okay,
that's
less.
My sense.
So then we have, you know, as we working up getting to your spending thing, the economy and so on, you know, this Federal Reserve in the Fed thing's a big deal. You know, so are we looking for another type of way to run our banking system? You know, are we going to be trading chickens, gold, states go back to it? We have, I mean, what? I have no idea what your advocacy is on our economy as it relates to the Federal Reserve fractional banking system. What are we going to do?
What I am advocating, of course, not of course, but what I'm advocating is the Federal Reserve return to its original intent, which was price stability. Now, understanding the argument for elimination of the Federal Reserve, if that went through the vetting process that it would have to go through, which is to pass Congress, and if I were President of the United States and that bill was presented to me, which would be to abolish the Federal Reserve, I would sign it. Ernie, I don't think it's going to happen. On reserve or gold based currency. Based on what I know, and again, this is constitutional, which, of course, went out the window. But based on what I know, I think we should return to a gold-based money. But it would have to go through a vetting process, which would be the Congress of the United States. I don't see it happening. If it did, and I were president, I would sign that. And I have a sense or I have an understanding of how that would occur. And, you know, those were that was something that Reagan actually set up. And I believe that Alan Greenspan was part of that study group that actually came up with a plan for how that would be implemented.
I tell you how it's going to happen, though. Dollar goes away.
Well,
they're going to go.
Well, that's where we're at. That's where we're at right
absolutely.
Now. We're at this. We're on the verge of hyperinflation. You know, I got $100 trillion note in my pocket from Zimbabwe.
Oh, you know what's going to happen? They're going to save us with the world-o. Here it comes.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're back in saddle again here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, and former governor of New Mexico and presidential hopeful in 2012 by a lot of peoples, Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson's in the valley here. Well, first I want to talk about that. What are you doing in Arizona, man? You're doing a lot of speaking. Oh, today we want to go see you debate someone on something. What's going on with that?
Well, a Federalist Society, so a debate on drug legalization at noon. I can dig out the address that that's going to be at. I think they're going to take all.
Well, comments. We have it on Freedoms Phoenix.
Okay.
You go to freedomsphoenix.com.
Yeah,
you'll
good,
see it
good.
All right there.
Good.
What's going on is Bill Montgomery, isn't he a candidate for attorney general or something? Or
candidate for a prosecutor?
Yeah, he's something. He's one of them guys. He's a drug warrior, I can tell you that. So he thinks he's going to go mopping up Gary. And Gary's like, hey, bring it on. Because, I mean, here's a guy that, you know, is governor 8 years. Well, you think he hadn't heard it before? So, you know, it hasn't affected, you know, had an effect on his budget? You know, this whole war on what? Some drugs? You know, this is, I'm looking forward to this. You know, this is going to be fun. We're going to have a good old time. And it's for lawyers. I mean, this is a credit, you know, continuing education credit that they set this up. So you got a lot of lawyers and prosecutors in there. So it'll be interesting. Don't pull any punches, man. Go get them. Don't go whipping out on me. I mean, bring it on.
No, no.
Then we have someone says, "Oh, national ID. I want to bring, you know, this immigration thing. It comes right in. I give you the spiel." Big issue here in Arizona right now. Russell Pierce's bill that would indemnify officers. You know, they hold you. They go, "Ooh, you walking wild brown, boy. Sit down on the ground. We're going to check you out. And if you don't have ID, oh, I'm so sorry. You will wait until we know who y'all is. Got a little accent? You know, whatever." They did this a few years ago in Gilbert. And a lot of people that they, you know, rounded up were U.S. citizens. And he didn't have papers, please, on them. So they held them, and then they had a lot of lawsuits, and the officers go, no, we're not doing this again. You want us to be enforcing your immigration thing, then you indemnify us from responsibility. We don't have any responsibility. They can't sue us. So they go, "Oh, absolutely, sure, man. We need, you know, we need some the left jackboot or the right jackboot to jackboot on your throat party. We'll have them going over here and say, yeah, y'all, we got to find out who you is." Well, that includes me. That includes you. They're going to, you know, "You got your papers, don't." So how do we find out whether you are a U.S. citizen or not? Well, you have to have databases, hunting license, fishing license, concealed carry permits, motor vehicle department stuff. All that goes up. Homeland Security. I don't know what a national ID is if that ain't it. So what do they say? They go, no. It's not national ID. Okay, pray tell, Russell. Tell me why it's not national ID. Because the officer is not required to ask you. He's not required to check you. It's not national ID then. He just has the option and indemnified. I'm going, okay. So, Gary Johnson, national ID, man.
Ernie, are we going to find anything that we disagree with here?
I don't know.
I'm trying to find it. Softballs. National ID. I think it's a bad idea. I'm also Constitution of the United States. Look, an advocate for states' rights. So Arizona is going to do something that I think isn't right. But you know what? Arizona is going to give it a shot. It looks like it might pass. That's what I was hearing yesterday. And I think it's going to be a failure. I just think it's got inherent problems and that it's not the right direction. But this is Arizona's right and ability to do this, and we'll see how it works.
I already know how it's going. You know, I have absolutely no hesitation whatsoever coming out big time against this thing because I know what's going to happen. You know what's interesting? In Arizona's Constitution, the composition of the militia. Now, check this out. Now, they changed this a few years ago. It used to be able-bodied men between the ages of. And we did an initiative in 94 that said all willing able-bodied men and women, because we didn't want involuntary servitude. And they didn't know that this was already provisioned in the Constitution. "Oh, you guys are crazy. You want your militia?" We go, "Oh, no, we just want to make it more politically correct." Okay, so we got a hook on that. Well, they changed from able-bodied to capable. You know, why? Able-bodied is I can pull the trigger. Capable is, I don't know, some subjective thing the state will come up with. But check this out. This is the way a lot of the original. The militia of the state of Arizona shall consist of blah, 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 and those between said ages who shall have declared their intention to become citizens of the United States. Now, it used to say residents of Arizona. And you know, here we go. You know, change it to this United States thing. But intention to become citizens of the United States, you're an Arizona militia. Intention. I intend. So does that include all these guys? See, I'm going, ooh, there's all the tangle web we weave. So now, you know, what if I have an intention? I get to have a gun, but I get detained and I can't work and I can't, you know, be part of this site and I can't even apply. So you can see there's so many, you know, a society that's built on freedom comes up against those that want to have, you know, this United States badge of whatever, entitlement is what it's coming down to, and the conflict of all these little words that they got to bring in the sink again, we are drifting into a fascist state. So I got to ask, national ID, you're president of the United States, you're looking at, you're going to consolidate all the state information into the executive branch, and you got everybody on everything, and in addition to their Facebook and their favorite color and all the pictures of their friends and them and everything, drinking beer and whatever in college, you got, oh, is this a good thing, bad thing?
Bad thing.
Bad. Bad. National ID, bad. But why is it bad? I mean, why is it bad for a central government to have all the private information on the people? I mean, what's wrong with that?
Well, for one thing, it's just going to be a huge, enormous cost. And those that are law-abiding citizens, that are regular law-abiding citizens, they're the ones that are going to comply. Those that aren't, that's where the rub's going to occur. And it's going to cost billions and billions of dollars. And it's really not going to make the situation any better. I mean,
well,
it's just going to be—it's going to be a cost benefit, and the costs are going to way outweigh the benefits.
Well, I know the benefit to government. It's always good to have all this information on someone. A census worker comes up with a little GPS and mark 30 feet from where your front door is. They need to know where the Hellfire missile needs to go. I mean, you know, dang it. You know, they love us. Okay, so let's go into states' rights, Second Amendment. We'll kind of combine these two into this one. You know, we have other states, including Arizona. If you manufacture a firearm here, you know, fully automatic, silencers, you know, bring it on. I got, you know, it's all in Arizona, for Arizona, got Arizona. Is that a states' right thing, Second Amendment thing? Can the federal government come in and say, uh-uh? You got the BATF coming in and said, ho-ho, no, you didn't, like they did with drug legalization in California. And then as, you know, a governor, would you resist, think they should resist federal authority? Would you exercise that authority when a state does something like this as president? I mean, give me your thoughts on the issue.
Well, again, strong states' rights. I'm a little confused with what you're saying, Ernie. Second Amendment.
Montana passed legislation saying they can produce machine guns in Montana as long as it stays in Montana. Arizona just passed a similar one.
Based on the Constitution of the United States, I would have to think that that's completely warranted.
Okay, then we have California. They decriminalize drugs in certain levels. DEA comes in and says, You know, is that a proper role of federal government?
Absolutely not. And, of course, that would be medical marijuana and the raiding of the medical marijuana dispensaries by the federal government.
Yeah, but I'm like recreational freaking opium. I mean, you know, it's my body. I mean, I put my hand on your shoulder and say, whose life is this? At what point does government get to, you know, save me from myself?
Well, and again, I'm in complete agreement. States ought to be 50 laboratories of democracy, and the federal government continually continually overreaches that notion. I mean, the Department of Education, what is the federal government doing involved in education? If the federal government just got out of education, education would improve nationwide because you'd have 50 states that were actually engaged in best practices.
Well, then they can't do their central plan
federal government gives 11 cents out of every educational dollar received by the states, but it comes with 16 cents worth of strings attached. So it's a negative, but it isn't just a negative in education. It's a negative with regard to almost. I guess I'm looking for the exception where it actually is a plus.
Abolish the federal government. We'll all be saved.
If federal government has a responsibility to protect us, to protect our borders, protect us against foreign aggression, I think the government has an obligation to enforce a level playing field when it comes to the economy and our ability to have equal access to the opportunities that this country provides.
And what do? They give government monopolies.
They enhance corporate monopolies by passing legislation of well-connected corporations. They pass legislation that benefits well-connected political individuals as opposed to policy that would affect all of us equally.
So let's go ahead and talk about, okay, a lot of the young people are going to be inspired by your being an option, 2012. I mean, we're hadn't got to 2010 yet, and Glenn Beck's already endorsing Mitt Romney. You know, they go in and they say, oh, this libertarian, all this freedom kind of stuff. Come on in. The water's fine. Yes, I'm talking a good game. Yeah, I like Dr. Paul right up until before the Southern Republican convention. They just had leadership convention they had in New Orleans. And they go, and all of a sudden he goes, I endorse Mitt Romney. I haven't got the 2010 campaign yet. I'm like, what the heck was that? So, you know, you already see it coming. You know, I already know where this is going. So we have Gary Johnson coming out doing this freedom-oriented thing, and young people are going to be going, yeah. another one. Let's see what we can do. They're looking for someone like you. They're looking for an opportunity. They're looking for a chance. And you offer them what? I mean, you're here to advocate for their future mainly by cutting spending the government, you know, inspiring the economy. How are you going to inspire the economy for these young people waiting for a job?
Well, and talking about issues of the day, we're bankrupt. The notion that we're handing our health care costs and retirement costs over to future generations is absolutely it's screwy. It's insane. This is a debt that isn't going to get passed on because it's due right now, and it's got to be dealt with right now, and it's not being dealt with. Nobody is really talking about the hard choices that have to be made, and the hard choices that have to be made are to repeal all these decisions that got made that should have never been made, promises made that should have never been made. Government needs to focus on policy that treats us all equally. So tax policy that has a notion of fair, and I say notion, tax policy that treats everyone the same. As a result of treating, as governor of New Mexico, I never laid claim to the creation of one single job because government doesn't create jobs. What government can create is a fairness for all. You create that. I think you create confidence among the population. People buy things. Businesses hire because their stuff's getting taken off the shelves.
You know, I hear you say a lot about you know, each of the 50 states being little experimental crucibles. And that used to be a big benefit. That was one thing, especially I think Reagan was going on about, hey, worked over here, do this, everybody do. But then they want a central planet. You know, they'll go, okay, well, this is, we picked this one. This is a good idea. We're gonna make everybody do that one. And when you're talking about, you know, 50 little democracies and so, I mean, do you really see the states as democracies or little republics? Or is that just, you know, what do you mean by that terminology?
Well, back to, I really do see, I see it as 50 separate businesses, if you will, 50 separate entities that really potentially do engage in best practices. But we've become a homogenous country, which I don't think the founding fathers had any notion of, with a federal overlay, with this centralist planning that really isn't... isn't benefiting any of us. It's top-down planning that has saddled us with debt that has now bankrupted us.
So now,
and of course, federal government's going to print money to cover their obligations. Ernie, a huge issue nationwide right now are all the state pension funds that are underwater. And the states aren't going to be able to print money to cover these obligations. So this is going to be a looming disaster. And the first state that's really going to face this is California.
And, you know, per capita, Arizona is worse than California. You know, a lot of people don't know that. We are as bad as California is. Our budget deficit and all our pension funds and all that kind of stuff, and how many people in Arizona? Worse than California.
What we have witnessed is, and this is not to take away from the fact that state workers are hardworking individuals, but take the state police in New Mexico, for example. Go to work for the state police when they're 20 years old. At 40, they retire after 20 years service, and they retire on 80% of the top 3 years' salary average. And some of those guys, gals, are going to live another 60 years. I don't think that the system was ever designed to handle that. And these are Ponzi schemes. We watch these promises being made. I think that that's just an example of what we've been witnessing for decades. These were promises made that should have never been made, but now the chickens are home to roost.
Yeah, it's like General Government Motors now. You know, General Motors, what do we got? You know, we got Cadillac sells for X amount of dollars. You know, more than half of the cost of the car goes into the benefits they gave the workers back when.
Well, a couple of years ago, I think the number on a Ford automobile was $5,500 for benefits.
Oh! is that sustainable? I think not.
And, of course, the corporations that have engaged in those promises have gone bankrupt.
Yep, 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 including an entire country and every level of a municipality, state, county. Then what? Then what? I don't know. We'll talk about that and some other stuff when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Gary Johnson.
Ernie?
The Berkey Lights. You need this.
Ernie?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Ernie?
Yes.
Man, when was he governor? Before Napolitano?
Yeah, it was like, yeah.
Can you have your headphones on? Can he hear you?
Yeah, he's listening to you.
God almighty. Democracies?
Hey, I asked him.
Yeah, I know, but we look at this as 50 little business entities. You know, there's a reason why the American people can't walk into a court and stand on their constitutional rights, and thanks to the Procedures Act of 1946.
I'll give him another opportunity to respond to it.
Please do, because I've just chewed my fingers off up to my elbow here. I'm bouncing off the walls.
I get it, man. We're on.
Okay, man. Thanks, Ernie.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Oh, and the man be a coming. Yeah, that's right. Here he is. He's coming, saying hello. And what do you do? I mean, where's the defense against the man? You know, well, we're supposed to have this constitutional republic thing going on. You know, there's like the Bill of Rights. There's this 10 thou shalt nots of government. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. You know, so I where are you standing on that, Gary? I mean, you know, we got this plan.
First of all, we're not a democracy. We're a republic, because under a democracy, people can vote themselves a raise. And that's actually where we've gotten to. People have voted themselves a raise, and that doesn't work.
On every level. Oh, one thing before we go, I got to bring this up. The kids will slap me around if I don't. Okay, things, let's just do the 9/11 thing. You know, a 9/11, is that something that we should just cast off? It was back then, it doesn't matter, it's a decade old, or is there something to be learned by investigating, or we need to find out, you know, the truth? I mean, the 9/11 commission report doesn't even mention Building 7. I want to know where all the molten metal came from. I mean, do we just blow that off, or is there something that we can do with that? Is that ever going to be an issue with you? What?
You know, I'm not in tune with it at all. I'm not meaning this as an excuse, but I guess I better understand this a little bit better.
Donna will give you the DVDs. We have plenty to choose from. Yeah, no, it's an issue. I mean, this is, you know, we don't got to spend a lot of time on it. But
no, I'm aware that it's an issue. I am not aware of the issues.
Yeah, you are. It's called Patriot Act. It's called War with Iraq. Right, it's called Afghanistan. There's a lot of bad stuff came out of that. So, well, you know, are you willing to, you know, learn about it?
Absolutely.
I mean, right.
Absolutely.
Got some goodies for you.
Okay, good.
So, before we've got a couple of minutes here, what's the one thing that you want? You're traveling. You came here to Arizona. I'm sure you're going someplace else right after this.
South Carolina.
And your mission is what?
Well, really, to put a voice to the outrage that I think the majority of people in this country are feeling, and the basis of that is the fact that we are bankrupt. The fact that we've borrowed ourselves into oblivion, we're bankrupt, okay, so we need to fix it. Well, actually, what we're doing is we're making things worse, we're not making things better, taxes are going up across the board. Raising taxes is completely unacceptable. That's part of the reason that we're here right now in the shape that we're in. And that's my purpose here. Again, trying to put a voice to what has happened. And my experience as governor of New Mexico, you know what? I said no to billions of dollars worth of spending. There wasn't a single tax increased in 8 years when I was governor of New Mexico. I would like to think, you know what, one of the things that I point out is I vetoed hate crime legislation as governor of New Mexico. Hate crime scares me to death. The government is going to arbitrate my thoughts regarding the crime that I've committed. Prosecute me on the crime that I've committed.
Oh, they got machines to check the thought behind it. Oh, they're going to read your mind and tell you what you thought.
Well, that's exactly the case, right? And then there'll be intent to commit hate crime at some point in the future also. So the direction of this country, liberty, freedom, the personal responsibility that goes along with that, I believe that's the way that I live my life, and I tried to the best of my ability to be governor of New Mexico with that as the basis.
You know what? Thanks for coming in. We enjoyed it. You were forthright in your answers. We got to ask a lot of questions, get kind of a flavor in here, because I'm telling you, you know, there's a lot of people interested. The world has changed in the last couple of years, and the youth has risen up. They're rising up. They're rising up against the man, as you are. I appreciate it. Thanks. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right.